This episode is brought to you by Juul Wellness, beef liver and oyster capsule supplementation. We're all about if you can just eat liver and if you can just eat oysters, you're going to be absolutely crushing it at your hormone health. However, not everyone likes to be eating liver and oysters, and that is why this is the best possible option for you. These are some of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet, packed with bioavailable iron, B12, zinc, and essential minerals that deeply support hormone balance, natural energy, and of course, fertility health. So if you are working on HA recovery, if you have been on birth control and you're trying to come off, if you've had an ED, if you've had multiple of the above, and of course, if you're preparing for pregnancy, Juul beef liver and oyster capsules make it really easy to nourish your body every single day. You don't have to cook. You don't have to make mess. You just have to swallow these whole food natural supplements in a capsule. We love Juul so much that we bought it. So we own it. We're very passionate. It's New Zealand sourced oysters and beef, which is the best possible kind you can get. And it's on every single protocol we ever do for our one-on-one clients, and it has been from the very beginning. So if you guys love a little bit of liver or you want to give it a try, because we're the owners, we actually have the best possible discount for you guys. So if you go ahead and use the code HA Society, you will get a 12% discount for life, and only you guys and our founding members have ever gotten a discount that big. So definitely, it's the best kept secret. It's just for you guys. Go to JuulWellness.com and make sure supplementation is 100% covered on your HA recovery journey. That's the code HA Society and use it at JuulWellness.com. On with the show. Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. Hey guys, welcome back. I'm excited to bring you part two of Ashley's story. So if you listen to part one, it was basically everything in the lead up that went down, and she talks about, you know, her history and gut stuff. She even talks a little bit about the carnivore diet, and we are going to pick up now into like, okay, she knows she has HA and here's what she's gonna do next, you know, to work on that. But before we kicked off, because we're meeting up about 2 weeks later to record this second part, she wanted to add something as well about the carnivore diet. So anyways, welcome back, Ashley.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me.
Kick us off into part two plus your reflections on carnivore.
Okay. So yeah, what I wanted to pick up on was, I think the last time you had asked me like how I was feeling, and I was thinking about it because like from the ulcerative colitis perspective, because that's kind of why I started it in the first place. And I think I like was a little too generalized about it. So I just kind of wanted to clarify, like it did help me resolve like my ulcerative colitis symptoms. And in that sense, my gut was feeling better. It was like nice to finally have relief from those symptoms. But I wasn't like feeling my best self. Like I still was having, I wouldn't say like my gut was completely 100%. I was still having like severe constipation where I like wasn't going to the bathroom for days. And I would have like severe leg cramps in the middle of the night. I was tired. I was still tracking calories at this point. So I was like kind of maintaining around like 1800 calories. So I still like, I was eating more than I had been eating previously, but still like kind of feeling like, oh, I'm small. My body doesn't need more than 1800 calories. Like whatever. So I just kind of wanted to clarify that because I didn't want people thinking like, oh, well, she did carnivore and felt great on it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the case. It was just like such a drastic difference because I had been so sick from the ulcerative colitis. It was nice to finally have some relief from that and be medication free. But I was still dealing with all of the HA things that I didn't know was HA at the time. But, you know, I was still having all these symptoms going on in the background. So, yeah, just kind of wanted to clear the air up on that one.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's always important for us to touch and add as much context as possible as to why
Yeah.
someone's eating the way they are. Okay, cool. All right, so you found you were like, oh my gosh, okay, I have HA. Here's a thing that I need to go do. Tell us about like how you started researching into it, like how you started making decisions about what you would try, what things you did try, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So honestly, I mean, when I found your page and I was going through it, I was like, oh yeah, this is like totally me. And then I just started listening to a ton of your podcasts and a bunch of like everybody else's stories. And then, you know, when you guys do your individual like group podcasts, like, you know, things that, you know, you kind of need to lay off on like your Q and A's, like the exercising all of the time and having to eat more calories. And so then I started thinking, because I had never heard of HA before. So I had no idea like what a protocol for like recovering from HA even looked like. I did not, you know, I was, this was a whole new thing that I was learning about. And so then I was starting, like even before having like reached out to you, I was like, oh, like this sounds like me. I think like I'm gonna probably have to lay back on working out and I'm gonna have to eat more. But like I kind of wasn't like fully ready yet. Like there was a part of me that was hesitant to start doing all that. I was finally like in a place where I was comfortable in my body. And I was like, man, I'm just gonna lose like all this progress I had made like for my body goals. But like now I have different goals. I obviously need a period. I knew like something was wrong there. So it was just kind of like it felt like a little bit of like a knife in the gut, like, ah, here you go. You know what I mean? Like you worked hard for this, but now you might have to give it up a little bit. But you know, I just knew what at the end of the day, really, I just wanted my period back. So I reached out to you. You confirmed like, hey, yeah, like this is HA, and we started working together. And I remember kind of telling you like one of your questions is like, well, what is like your biggest fear in this journey? And like one part of it was the weight gain, like that everybody has. I didn't want to lose my body. And then the other part of it was the ulcerative colitis coming back because I was, even though I wasn't, like I was constipated and I wasn't feeling 100% like, oh, my gut's completely healed. I was feeling so much better. And like to not have ulcerative colitis symptoms where I was like having the urgency or bleeding or any of that was a nice relief. And I was worried that whatever changes we were going to make was going to push it. So you had even told me when we started working together, like, hey, by the way, like, I do find that like sometimes we need to like have some symptoms before we can start like moving forward. So you might see like symptoms here and there, like we'll try to manage it as best we can and then kind of like go from there. So I was still kind of wrapping my head around that and like being comfortable in doing it. But yeah, so that's kind of where I was at like mentally. I was definitely nervous. Like to say I wasn't nervous would be like, you know, that'd be silly. But yeah, I mean, you were like super helpful with it in the beginning because it was just like really small changes. And even when I first started working out, working with you, I was working out like 3 days a week, and I was talking with my husband about it because like I was having a hard time letting it go. Also, like I'm in law enforcement, so there's like a part of me that feels like I have to be working out because it's like part of my job to like maintain strength and be able to hold my own if I need to. And so like I was nervous, like, ah, I'm gonna stop working out, I'm gonna lose all of my strength gains, and like then I'm gonna like fail at my job when I need to, and it's not gonna be great. And you know, so there was this definitely like there was a hold on working out for me. And my husband is kind of the one who like helped push me into like the pause of it. He was like, I just think you need to stop for now. Just like take a break. try this out, do it for the program, and if by the end of it nothing's changed, then okay, well, now you know, like, you could start maybe getting back into it, but like, just see what happens. So I had, like, I think it was like week two or three, I think I had made the decision, like, all right, I'll just call it for right now.
Yeah, it's funny how often, because I remember, pretty sure, that when you were considering joining, the digestive issues, the ulcerative colitis was definitely a major concern, which
it
is
was.
Like super common, right? People be like, okay, how will we work around this? Because I'm sure the concern is that someone will ignore it and just ask you to do everything how someone without those issues would do it, which is going to cause flare-ups. And so you mentioned, like, we made some small changes, and I'm wondering, I guess, like, for someone with major digestive challenges or fears, at least, is it like a comfort for you to be making small changes, or is there actually a piece of you that's like wants to be making more changes and is worried that they're going to be like insignificant and they're not going to make a difference? Like, what are you thinking about
For
all of that?
me, well, it is funny too, because, like, yeah, when you have like the gut issues behind it, I don't know how everybody else feels, but I always felt like, well, my case is going to be different because, like, I've got this, like, this is my driving force and nobody else has this. So, like, this is just like, it makes my situation more complicated than everybody else's situation, which I don't think is the right train of thought anymore. But, like, that's just kind of the way I saw it. But yeah, when it came to like the changes for me personally, I appreciated the minor changes because I had been trying everything. Like, so much of my belief around my ulcerative colitis was the foods that I was eating. I had done all these different elimination diets. I had tried like getting rid of everything I could that I thought was triggering my ulcerative colitis. So, like, if I ate like a bagel, I'd be like, oh, it's got gluten in it, that's going to trigger my ulcerative colitis. But then if we started throwing in like everything, let's say you were like, if you had told me like week one, okay, I want you to incorporate this, 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 and this, and all of a sudden I had ulcerative colitis symptoms, in my head I'd be like, well, I have no idea which one of these is causing it. Like, to me, it would have been the food. Like, I would have gone back to, well, something that I ate triggered the ulcerative colitis. I don't know what it was, but it was one of these things, and now I have no way to narrow down which one it is. So for you, it was like, okay, introduce this one thing. Like, week one, we're going to introduce this one thing. And I do remember, like, I had like a little push of symptoms, but it wasn't anywhere near, like, it wasn't anywhere near what it had been. It was very manageable for the first like 3 or 4 days after incorporating that food group. And then after, like I said, 3, 4, maybe 5 days, it would resolve on its own and it would go back and I could continue eating that food. And to me, I was like, that's so weird. Like, I don't know, because I think without you in the mix of it, had I eaten that food, right? Like, if I had just incorporated that one food and started eating it, I would have been the next day seen I had symptoms and then been like, holy shit, I gotta take it out. Like, there's no way this is going to cause me like a flare up, and I would have removed it immediately instead of like continuing to try to see if it would like resolve on its own, which it did, which was kind of like, I don't know, it was fascinating to see for me, I think. Like, it's like, maybe in my head, I was like, well, maybe it's not the food. I don't know what it is, but like, maybe it's not the food. So,
yeah. And I mean, for a lot of people, it's the low estrogen state that's creating general digestive issues. And I mean, to a degree, like, we won't ever know,
right?
But like, why you had ulcerative colitis. The reality or the likelihood is it was exacerbated by other things, but your body was always able to resolve it. And that has been the cool thing about seeing that happen now time and time again. And how some of it is like, okay, it was actually always, well, for a long time, but you just don't know when it's probably been able to be done. But like you were saying, if it was just you on your own, you just like hit the panic button and get out. But there's something about, like, probably, you know, having someone else be like, I think this is okay.
100%. Like, Like it was nice to be able to lean for me. It was nice to be able to lean on somebody. Like I know you've mentioned it before where people like sign up and you're like, oh, it's not my problem anymore. And that was kind of like my mindset going into it. It's like, well, she'll figure this out. Like, I don't know. Like she'll tell me like what to do. Like, I don't know. I was pretty confident. You had told me you had worked with clients who had ulcerative colitis before, which put me at ease. I think had I been like your first UC client, I probably would have been like a little bit more hesitant, but like you having had experienced it before, I was like, okay, I think like she's probably seen this and like knows how to tackle it that way. So that gave me like a little bit more peace of mind to be able to just be like, hey, this is what's going on. And like I said, it never got to the point where it was like that bad. I think had my like symptoms worsened to the point where it was like, oh, I might need to like hop on meds again, like that would have been a different discussion, but it was never, that was never the case. I think it was probably because of the slower approach that we took. I mean, maybe, I don't know, I can't tell you what would have happened had we thrown like four or five food options in at a time in one given sitting. I don't know, but like, yeah. But I definitely think the way you tackled it and the way, you know, we tackled it was probably like the best way for me.
Going
So,
slow to go fast, I think,
yeah.
is the number one thing. And then the cool thing about issues like that, and this applies to a lot of issues. It also applies to people who have OCDs that want to do this. Once you tackle the first couple slowly, it's easier to introduce more sooner.
I was just going to say that it actually also gave me confidence. Like it just like, okay, so I know this is what's like when we went to the next food and the same thing happened. You're like, okay, so we kept the first food in, we went to the next food. I had 3 to 4 days of symptoms and then they resolved themselves again. And that was kind of like the pattern every time we went to go introduce something. And it just gave me the confidence of like, all right, now I know what's going to happen. You know, so here I'm going to like throw this in there. I'm gonna see symptoms. Like the next day I saw a symptom, I wasn't even like concerned about it. It was like, man, this is gonna go away in 4 days. You know, I'm not like, it wasn't even like a thought, you know.
Yeah, that is so cool that you
Yeah.
can. Also, are you still having, like, does the same thing still happen with certain foods if you have something you haven't had in a really long time, or are you resolved?
Does, but I'm also like in a different place right now. I don't know like if we want to touch on that in a little bit or when, but
We'll get there. We'll get
yeah,
there.
exactly. So
Okay,
I
cool.
think that's also like part of it, you know, but I do find it was funny, like I think week 3 or 4 into it, my husband, like I was playing with like safer foods that you had given me, but I had never really strayed off of like the foods that you had assigned me for, like for that week. And I remember like as I was getting closer to recovery, my husband and I were like, "Oh, let's do like a movie night at home." And he got me these like chocolate covered Raisinets, which I don't know, like I'm such a weirdo. I know it's like the weirdest thing, like I don't know, but I loved chocolate covered Raisinets when I was growing up as a kid, and like for years I'd never allowed myself to eat them. And then he brought them like home for me, and he's like, "Let's like treat yourself tonight." And I was like, "You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna treat myself." And I like allowed myself to have something that like I never really allowed myself to indulge in before. And I remember being like, oh my God, these are so good. But it was just like such, and then I was fine the next day. So I was just like, it was like such a nice, like, maybe I can eat these things and not have to freak out about, you know, getting sick or, you know, not have that lingering in the back of my head. That was like such a big thing. Like, I remember like people would serve cake and I'd be like, oh, I can't eat that because I'm definitely going to get sick. And I mean, definitely, like, I think everybody, like, if you overindulge, right? Like, if you eat a whole cake to yourself, like, nobody's gonna feel amazing after that. You're gonna be like, oh, yeah, like, I feel on top of the world. Like, nobody's gonna feel great. But, like, I'm also, like, it's nice to have the reassurance, like, okay, well, I'm not gonna, like, have to, like, get on medication to do this anymore. I can manage this. So,
So you're
yeah.
currently not on medication?
Not on medication. Nope. I've been off medication now for over a year. Yeah, it's been kind of nice. So nice, not like it's weird too. Like even if I have like a little bit of a flare up from something, like I just know that okay, I can revert back to the foods that we like initially worked with. Like sometimes because like there was like a period after we had like been working together where I kind of went off the rails a little, and like I was just eating everything in sight. And it did like affect me a little bit, a little bit more than it had when we were working together. And I think it was just like due to a combination of things, but it did resolve on itself. Like I just know, like, okay, hey, let me like pull back a little bit here. Let me not like go totally crazy on everything. It's like I was literally eating junk food all day. You know what I mean? So I was like, let me just, I think there has to be a little bit of a balance for people who have like gut issues. You know what I mean? To not like send it over the fence.
Absolutely. And I think what's so nice is it's so from our perspective, and I won't harp too much because we have other episodes where we talk about this. Like I think only a couple months ago with like digestive issues, people. And I think
Yeah.
I talked about you.
Oh, maybe you did. I
I feel like you
don't
told me that you heard it. Pretty sure that because yes. Okay. So I even have a like where we talk about that. But the nice thing is it is not too different. It's
know.
just, it's like slightly slower
Yeah. Yeah,
and
exactly.
not even that much slower.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is cool. Ah, all
So,
right. Awesome.
yeah.
So that's, unless there's more pieces, definitely tell
No.
me. But let's talk about like, okay, when you got the period.
Yeah. So, are you good with like me throwing in timelines or like
Yeah,
recovery? Oh,
timelines are
okay. Yeah.
great.
Okay. So, yeah, we had been working together. It was literally like 5 weeks. And I had, at that point, I had let go, like I said, of the working out. I'd let go of the tracking. I was really just trying, and I was hungry. Like I didn't realize like how hungry I was, but I was hungry. I ate a lot, so I definitely like put on a little bit of weight, but it wasn't even like I remember feeling a little bit self-conscious about the weight gain, but it wasn't this. I don't know. I think I had thought in my head I was gonna like gain a ton of weight, and I really didn't gain all that much weight, and I was keeping like my health with it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, I couldn't believe how quickly everything had like kind of just clicked into place. I remember like emailing you the next day, like, holy crap, I got my period. And it was actually the night that like my husband had gotten me like the Raisinets. I had like had the Raisinets, and then I went to the bathroom and I had like a little bit of blood on the tissue, and I was like, no way. And then the next morning it was like a whole period, and I was like, oh my God, no way. Like it was just, I don't know, the level of excitement that I had was like, this is
Yeah.
insane, you know?
Remind everyone
And
how long it had been too for you, because we probably said that up front of part
it
one.
was probably at that point about 13 or 14 months since I had gotten a period. So, I mean, I know like there are people who have gone longer, but for me, it wasn't the longest time I hadn't had a period, but it was the longest time I hadn't had a period knowing that I should have had a period, because the last time I was on birth control, and I just thought it was like birth control doing its thing. But this time it was like the whole 13 months I was like, where's my period? Where's my period? Like, is it coming back? I definitely had like more anxiety about it. So, and like not only was it a period, but like you had confirmed that I ovulated, which was like huge for me, because I just was told by so many doctors that like I was going to have like all these fertility issues. And not saying that like people who ovulate don't have any, but I was just like, I don't think it has anything to do with anything they were saying now. Like, I just knew that like this was it. Like, this was my answer. Like, here I am, my first period back. I ovulated and I had like a decent bleed. My luteal phase, I remember you tell it was short. It was like 4 days. It wasn't a great luteal phase, but it was also my first period back. So it's like, eh.
I can tell you what it was. Yeah, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, was six? Oh, for some reason I thought it was shorter than that, but
Well,
okay.
you had some unreliable temperatures we have to skip over. So it's
Gotcha.
possible you ovulated even one day later and it was only 5 days, but
Gotcha. Okay. But
one
yeah,
or the
I mean,
other.
still like not like totally ideal, but I guess that's not as bad as I thought it was. For some reason, I thought it was like lower than that. But yeah, awesome. So I feel like for like my first period back, it had been like way better than I expected it to be. And I definitely did not think it was going to take only 5 weeks. I thought this was going to be like, I had signed up for like a 12-week program. I was like, this is going to be the full 12 weeks for sure, if not more. I like prepared myself that this was going to be longer. So
Good.
yeah, I was like, in my head, I'm like, I'm always expect the worst, hope for the best kind of person, just because like I feel like it mentally prepares me a little bit more. But
That is smart for this journey. Everyone does need to be very optimistic that they're going to be in the average time to recovery, because it's like the average time is about 3 months, and that's optimistic as well, right? Because like everyone feels like that it's never going to happen. So it feels like it's optimistic to people, and there are many where it will happen much sooner and good for them. But for the sake of those who do take the 3 months, buckle in.
Exactly. I also
Smart.
think like a big part of it for me was like the idea of just like letting go, because before this, I had been a so anxious about everything, like the ulcerative colitis, the working out, the weight gain. I was so anxious. And then like, I mean, God bless my husband. He's been like so supportive throughout the whole thing, throughout all of my phases, good and bad. And like, I think he also like helped me feel better about letting go. He was just like, I remember there were days where it was like, we had a lot to do, and he was like, just sit home, like don't worry about it, like stop, just relax. And like, I don't know, he would buy me like the foods, and like he, I think in my head I was like, I had the same personality complex as everybody else of like, well, who am I going to be if I'm not this like fit person, right? Because that's what health is. And like, you know, I'm going to lose that part of myself, and he's going to like think of me differently. Like he's going to think I'm lazy and like not, you know, I'm this almost like completely different person from like who he's known for the past 5 years, you know? So it was nice to have like the reassurance of like, okay, he still finds me attractive. Like, even though I've gained weight, he doesn't think I'm a lazy POS. He like, I don't know, you like, and then also like the support from you of like, hey, like, you're gonna be fine. Like, if you don't work out, it's gonna be okay. Like, I think all of that just gave me the ability to like let all of the stress of everything else go and just kind of like give in, you know? And I think that's, for me personally, I think that was like a big part of it. So.
Yeah, that's it feels essential, because there's a lot of people who will report the loneliness or lack of support. So, well, not even a lot, just a handful. I feel like most people are good at getting that support. So,
I
yeah.
can see how that's tough. Like, I don't know, like if he wasn't here, like I think I would have like a lot of intrusive thoughts about, like I said, about being lazy and like everybody's gonna think I'm like, you know, this person who just gave up on exercising, and like, who am I? She's not this dedicated person anymore. She's not motivated. She used to be this like really go-getter, and now who is she? Like, but like, I don't know, to have him there, like, kind of reassure me, like, hey, you're doing what you need to do, like, you're fine.
And
Just
how
nice.
do you feel about that now? Because like this is something that people are actually always curious about, is like, okay, the future. So some of the big fears are everything you just said, which is, I'm going to be seen as this, that, and the other, like lazy, let herself go, and you just fear life as a recovered person. And there's so many ways that people can articulate this. Like, they don't want to become a non-athletic regular person. They don't want to lose their status as athletes. They want to stay healthy in like the version of health that they have. So what is it like on, honestly, what's it like on the other
Honestly, like
side?
I, okay, there are two different sides of it. I also had the side that everybody that I work with was going to think that way, because like I said, I'm in law enforcement, and like there's this, you know, I don't want to say stigma, but like, especially like for female officers, I just feel like we have to hold ourselves to a little bit of a higher standard. So I was really worried about like, well, what is everybody at work gonna think once they see like I've gained weight and like all this? And they like, I used to be the person who woke up at 2 in the morning and like went into the gym before my shift and like worked out. And like, obviously people are gonna notice, right? Like, oh, everybody's gonna notice that all of a sudden I'm not in the gym at 3 in the morning. And it was like this crazy fear. So like I could tell you that nobody gave a crap. Like I didn't get like one comment from anybody at work, which, you know, like I don't know why I thought like everybody was going to be like, oh my God, like look at you, what are you doing? And I don't think anybody even noticed. So there was kind of relief on that end. And then, but I, you know, honestly, like there are still some days I struggle with it, like more for, like you said, like that athlete perspective, like there's still a part of me that has to remind myself, like, what health is. Like, I think I have to rein it back in because I'll go off, especially if you're on social media or anything. Like, you have all these people telling you, like, oh, well, you have to work out 6 days a week and you have to be strong. And I was somebody who was strong. And so, like, not saying I'm not strong anymore. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what I mean? Like, I used to like go like lift really heavy weight and like feel amazing about it. Like, oh, look how strong I am, you know? Which, like, it's, I think like eventually, like I'm not gonna like lie, I think eventually I will start strength training again. Not to the degree that I was. Like I'm never, I don't foresee my, like I think there's a part of me that now knows like, you know, you gotta listen to your body. Like I would never listen to my body. I would just be like, oh, you're tired? Don't be a bitch, go suck it up, like get in the gym. Oh, you feel shitty after that workout? Too bad, like go do your cardio, like stop, like continue to starve. I never listened to a word. And like, I think it's given me this ability to be able to like really sit and be like, oh, you're tired today. Like, maybe don't go on the walk that you were going to go on. Or like, it's okay if you just want to chill and be on the couch. Like, you're not a lazy slug. Like, you're fine. So it's kind of given me this like ability to look at myself and, you know, kind of like realize, you know, just pull back where you need to, and you're gonna be fine. Like you're not, you don't need to be this crazy, you know, over the top person to be healthy. You can still be healthy and like have a lot of balance and fun in your life.
Diddling. That's my sound effect for this ad break. Again, this episode is brought to you by the wonderful, the amazing Jewel Wellness, nature's multivitamin for your goals that matter the most. Energy that lasts, no caffeine crash, skip the coffee, have the liver. It is packed with essential nutrients to support your reproductive health, your egg quality, your cycles, and don't forget his sperm quality. The whole family should be taking it, and you should be rotating beef liver and zinc. He's gonna need it for his testosterone, just quietly. Okay, hormonal skin issues. Liver is rich in vitamin A, and actually, you know what? So is oyster. So be on both of those things. Rotating through 1 month oyster, 1 month liver. This is going to help promote clear skin, healthy hair. This is the natural form of vitamin A. I could talk forever, but you guys need to get back to the show. So go to jewelwellness.com and use the discount code HA Society to get 12% off. Biggest discount available anywhere. All right, back to the show. Bring.
I don't know if that
Yeah.
answered, but I think that answered it. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like my experience too. Yeah, it's just. There's so I we don't we struggle to really see what we're gonna get out of it.
Yeah.
We
Yeah.
know it's good, like logically,
Yeah.
and definitely people, there are many listening and many who are into like pursuing recovery because they truly want a new relationship with food and exercise. Like it's just gotten too much.
Yeah.
But not everyone is that way. There are many who are making the brave decision to
Yeah.
pursue something that they don't like logically, or they're not exactly excited about, they
Yep.
know they should do, and that actually requires a lot of sacrifice of things that you at least know and like you at least believe that you love.
Yeah.
And that's a tough ask, and women are very brave for doing it. And
It's
Very well
funny. I
known.
almost look at it like an addiction.
Yeah.
It feels like one, like it's, probably not the, it's like people would look at it and be like, oh, well, that's an exercise addiction. That's not that bad. Like, that's a good thing. And it's like, no, it's not a good thing. Like, and it's this thing to have to like remind yourself, like, hey, like you're going back to old, like you're going back to that old mindset. Like, stop. Like this is your new mindset. It's like constantly having to remind yourself in the beginning, at least, like why you're doing this, what's important. Like, just because somebody tells you something is healthy, it doesn't mean it's healthy. I had all of the doctors tell me that I was super healthy and like, oh, your triglycerides are great and like your weight is great and like why, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's going on with you. Like, but I wasn't like, well, was I healthy? I wasn't having a period. Like, my body was physically not doing the function that it was born to do. Like, I am a female. I am meant to do these things. And like, my body was in a state where it was like, nah, we're not doing that. So how healthy could I have really been? Like, if your body is not doing its primary function, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that a lot of women need to look in the mirror or sit down with their journal or sit down with like someone that they love and trust and truly get to the bottom of what are all of your intentions behind all of your actions. And so
Yeah.
to not be taking enough action, like to be in quasi recovery, a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And a lot of people listening are. And to be in that situation and still not take action to recover, convincing yourself it's because you don't, because it's actually like worse for you to lose your exercise or your
Right.
diet, or it's worse for you to gain some weight. Like that delusional.
It is, yeah. But I under like I don't
And I
like I'm not
understand
it's not right. Like
totally.
I understand it. Like I get
You
it,
understand
but
it
like
because you're on the
it
other
is
side and
delusional.
you see it for what it is.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
100%. Like I was delusional for a very long time.
Me too.
It took me quite a bit to get out of my insanity. But that's what it is, right? Like it is like doing the same thing and like not like expecting a different result. Like, oh, like I can get my period back and still do all of the things that I was doing, right? Insanity. So, like, it's definitely just like you have to kind of remind yourself, like, yeah, like you said, like, what's more important? Like, is me getting to a place where, like, my body is doing what it is meant to do, like, more important, even if that means, okay, I have to gain 10, 15 pounds and, like, pull back on the amount that I'm working out or, like, take a break from it completely. But like then it also opens up this whole other side. Like, had I never done this, I never would have had the confidence to eat foods that, I'm eating now, like for enjoyment purposes. Like I have a different level of freedom that I never had before. I can go out and on a Sunday with the family and not have to worry about frig, what am I gonna eat when we go out? Or like, oh, they all want to go get ice cream. I'm gonna pass on that. You know what I mean? Because like I can't do it, So now I can like enjoy my life a little bit more without having to have anxiety all of the time.
Yeah. I mean, and I've said it once, I've said it a million times. We have this group and this community and this business, like, yes, to get periods back and make babies, but really that's what we're selling you because that's what you'll buy. People will not buy what you just expressed. A lot of
Yeah.
people will not willingly sign up to get their life back because they
Because
don't want to let go of the old one.
you're thinking you enjoy this. Like, there's a part of you that's like, I enjoy all of the restriction. I love the way that I'm eating right now, starving myself. And I love my persona, as this person who is working out 7 times a week and not giving myself rest. Like, I love everything about it. Like, in my head, I loved it.
Yeah, no, you truly do believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
you're
then
not
you
just saying it to
realize,
get out
like,
of it.
wait, what have I been doing to myself the past like 3 to 4 years? Like, I don't know. It's just,
I
it
think it's
is crazy.
because
I think one factor is because we apply so much judgment to people who do it the other way. Like, so much judgment to people who take a day off, to people who don't go to the gym as much as you, to people who,
100%.
just eat in a way that's not like with your, those people
Your
are now
view.
lacking discipline and they're not hardworking and they're never going to achieve what you're going to achieve. And so now you've developed this wild fear of being
That person.
that person, of being, quote, a regular or normal person, which is so shitty because they're not regular, normal people. They're just not behaving around food and exercise the way you are, but they still have values, hobbies, interests, talents, and skills. And we
Exactly.
refuse to look at them
And
because
they're probably getting their periods and they're happy.
they're growing.
So,
Growing.
enjoying your life.
Yeah, it's tough.
So,
And we
yeah.
can like hop on about it forever, but until
Oh,
someone
yeah. That is true.
experiences, for the experience, the, oh, that was actually like really nice
Yeah, exactly.
moment.
I forgot what this was
Yeah.
like.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. I mean, I have family in town. And so, when family are in town or when you go to see family, it's like it's eating out all the time, right? You're eating at all these places. You're not going to like your gym or your workout. You're kind of like sitting around in between eating at all the places. It's a really hard time for people like us typically, but it is so nice to give zero shits
To be
to
actually
just
like
be.
able to enjoy your family at that point, because
Yeah.
like I don't know, there were I remember like Christmases where it was like, oh well, I'm not gonna eat any of this food, I'm just gonna eat the food that like I meal prepped, because like, or like mom made chicken and I'm gonna measure out the amount of chicken that I'm
Yeah.
eating like on Christmas instead of being able to just like sit with my family and enjoy the holiday and like talk.
Yes. And like success of the holiday is dictated by if you can walk away and feel like you didn't, ruin your progress. That
Yeah, 100%.
that's success.
Yeah.
Ooh,
Look at
yeah.
me. Look at me. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, so I definitely like I wouldn't tr have traded this for anything, and it's like definitely opened my eyes up to like, a whole new perspective that I didn't even think like I could have anymore. So it's been definitely like freeing. And then I guess I'll just like continue with like after. So after I recovered and I like was confirmed to be ovulating, like I know like one of the main reasons I was going into this and I told you was like my fertility, like my husband and I wanted to have a baby, but like we were also realizing like, hey, this might take a little bit of time and that's okay. Like, let's get this. Like, the period was a huge win. So it was just like, okay, like, I'll, as long as I know I'm ovulating and I'm getting a period, we'll figure out the other part of it. And if it takes time, it takes time. That's fine. And I remember you being like, yeah, well, we'll just like kind of see what happens. So I'd gotten my first cycle back after 5 weeks of working with you. And then the next cycle I was I did not get because I was pregnant. So I
Voila.
remember like I ovulated a few days later. I was like I don't know, I had like a little I can't it was like a very hint of nausea, and then I had like 3 days of spotting and I was like, is this my period? That's weird, like I don't really, that's not, even though I just gotten my period back, that's not how it happened last time. I wasn't spotting like that, I just kind of started bleeding. And so I thought it was weird. I had 3 days of spotting and then it like stopped. And I was like, am I pregnant? And I took a test and the lines came back. They were like faint at first, but I was like, holy like I'm pregnant.
Right.
And yeah, I'm currently 21 weeks pregnant now with my baby boy. And yeah, I just can't, like, I don't know. There aren't enough words.
Yeah, but let's try with the words because I can't get over this. And this is a whole thing I'm like planning, and Ashley will be 100% on board to just, we need to get really loud about how many people are being told they will have infertility issues and they will probably need treatment
Oh,
Which
yeah.
you were told, right, that you'll probably need treatment
I
to
was
get pregnant.
told that I was going to need treatment, and they wanted to put me on like a whole bunch of different hormones to begin with. Like, it was already like, oh, well, we should get you on progesterone. We should get you on estrogen. We should get you on metformin. We should get you on all these things that I was just like, I'm not quite like ready to like hop on all these meds yet. I was determined to try to figure this out naturally. I believed I could do this naturally. So
Absolutely.
like, oh, thank God, right? Like, oh my
I
God, I can't
just
imagine
I
like,
ah! And
yeah.
so to have been told, right, like, because at some point you've sat in your feelings that, oh my God, I'm infertile potentially. Like you have that doubt, like you're like, I think I
Oh.
could do this on my own, but it's still really hard to be told that.
I cried. Like, I remember
Yeah.
the day that they told me, like, A, your uterine lining is like super thin. You're never going to be able to like hold an egg there. And like, just like my egg quality was really low. And like, I just remember like getting off that appointment and just like crying, like being like, oh my God, like, I don't know if this will ever happen for us. And it was like this plan that he and I had had. It was just something like we had always thought was going to happen, and then all of a sudden it was like this instant like shit, like I don't think I'm going to be capable of it, but I had to believe like I gotta like at least give this a go. I gotta, I have to try to see if they're wrong. Like there's a part of me that couldn't believe them, I did believe them to a degree, but then there was this like other little part of me that was like they're good, they've got to be wrong, like there's got to be a way, and I'm glad that I trusted that in myself. And like, had I not found you, like, I just don't know. Like, I don't know where would it have gone. You know what I mean? Would it have just, I don't know. It's like scary to kind of even think about. But like, yeah, I did not need IVF. I did not need any hormones. It was literally before I even hit my second cycle. And like, here we are, like,
Yeah.
I just.
So if I look at your Kindara chart, basically, you would have set up within a few days of us signing up. So that was July 4,
Yep.
then first period by August 29. Sorry, July 24. First
Okay.
period by August
Okay.
29.
Yep.
So like a month.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, crazy.
then, positive pregnancy test is probably happening roughly on October 1st.
But I think it was like in September.
So like
I want
late
to say it was
September. So
like,
you just kept temping after getting a few
yes. Yeah.
positives. Okay.
I was temping up until, I don't know, it was like almost to the end that we were working together because I thought like I needed to. And then you were like, oh no, you could stop temping. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like I'll stop temping. So,
Yeah. Do stop temping.
yeah, exactly. I wasn't really sure. So yeah, I continued to temp, but like, yeah, I was, I had gotten that positive pregnancy test somewhere like late September, I would say. And yeah, I was just over the moon. And I will say, like, just to like be honest with everybody, there was like a little bit of anxiety in that, only because I was like, oh, I just recovered, like, is this gonna be viable? Like I was finally like so excited to have some, like to have the pregnancy, that I was like, then I was terrified to lose it because like I it felt like everything was happening so quickly. And I remember you telling me like, yeah, there's not really like any evidence to show that like people who have had HA and recovered from it
Yeah.
experience like greater loss. And yeah, I mean, here I am, like I said, 21 weeks, and like baby's like, I just had my anatomy scan. Baby is as healthy can be. No issues at
Isn't that
all.
weird?
So yeah, it's amazing. Like
Yeah.
it really is like the miracle behind it. I just like can't get, I literally can't get over it. Every day I'm like, I look down at my belly now and I'm like, I am pregnant. And it's the best
Yeah.
feeling.
This is
Yeah.
so cool. I mean, and
Yeah.
you're right. The research shows so far that there's no correlation between HA and negative birth outcomes. And then just anecdotally, I see that in like the amount of clients who miscarry those first pregnancies are the same as the standard
As
average.
everybody. Right, exactly. And I know people who have had losses, unfortunately, like whether chemical pregnancy or like early losses, and
Yeah.
Sad thing, but like I don't think, like I just wanted to get that out there for people like who do recover quickly and then maybe get pregnant really quickly, like just maybe to ease, hopefully ease like a little bit of their anxiety that might come with that. So
Yeah. Yeah, like you're totally normal. And it's okay to have the anxiety anyway. For right, work, because like, yeah. You still just don't want to be that statistic. Like, no one does.
Of course, yeah. Nobody wants to lose any, you know, especially something that you've kind of been working, you know, so hard for, towards, like, this was a goal, right? This was the goal, and like something that you're so excited about. Nobody wants to lose that. So of course, anxiety is like completely normal, but I didn't want any, like, I don't think you have to think like, oh, well, it's the same way that I thought, oh, well, because of my gut, this is going to like not work out for me. Like, that's not the case here. It's like, oh, well, just because you had HA doesn't mean that like, you're not going to like have a nice, healthy pregnancy, and like, mm-hmm. things can be like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. A lot of people just get it. Like, it just happens quick. And some people it's a few more tries, yeah. But aside from that, it's totally normal. And the anxiety and fear is normal, because like, okay, well, now you're a mom. So, and something I didn't expect, and I don't know if you're there yet, you will be probably entering into that phase of pregnancy where like, you have to also start making decisions for a person that you haven't met yet.
Yeah.
That you don't know. And you.
Yeah.
Are like, up until this point, you've only made decisions about yourself.
Right. And now all of a sudden it's like, this being that
and it's like, okay, so control. do you want these vaccines? If this happens, right. Then you want this to happen. Do you, you know, and if they try to do this, you know, what are you going to say? And then into the first year and the first checkups, again, it's more medications, more vaccines. Oh, they have an infection, like an ear infection, or they're sick. Do you want to do antibiotics? Oh, well, now they've done two rounds. Do you want to do a third round? And you're just like,
you're like, oh my God, I don't know.
You're like, I'm not equipped. Right. Yeah. So the anxiety continues.
You're like looking around the room like, somebody else here are gonna step up.
Nope, that's you.
No, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So everything, you know, and then finally you have the second kid and it's much easier that time. It's all experience. So same with periods, and you're gonna have to do this postpartum because you didn't have a lot of first periods. So
right.
Postpartum, you'll probably hit me up.
Right? I was thinking that, yeah.
Most people do, at least like for a question, right? Like, yeah. Is this normal?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so you'll go through that, and it's not even until you've had a significant amount of your own menstrual cycles that your anxiety eases, because a lot of people are like, well, is the second one going to come? And is the third one? And now this one's looking a little different to the last one and blah, blah, blah. But eventually your body is still showing up every month, and you're learning the ins and outs, and you're learning like what affects it and what doesn't. And you just gain that confidence. And it's a process. It's a year long process. And you know, that's a downside to getting pregnant right away.
I know. I was going to say that, because like, I don't want to say it, because like, to me, like, I'm just so elated.
Well, you'll still pregnant. Take it. You're still going to take it. You're going to take the downside.
Like, oh, I don't regret it that much, but I do think that like, there's definitely a different experience between somebody who's gotten to learn and know what their cycle is, and like, you know, things that influence it, you know, like the longer, I think, you know, we had 12 weeks together, but I had gotten pregnant, like, you know, 7 weeks, 8 weeks in. So it was like, well, I didn't really get to figure out the rest of it. So like you said, I will probably, like, there's a very high percentage that I will be hitting you back up postpartum. And like, just so I could even learn myself, like, okay, well, these are the things that affect it. And like, okay, well, whatever. Maybe I ate a little bit less today unintentionally. Like, this is what's going to happen, or whatever it might be. You know what I mean? But like, just so that like, I have a better understanding of what my body like wants to do and is supposed to do, and like all those things, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. But yeah. So, but so I will, good. I'm super happy to be pregnant, and that's okay. Yeah. I'm okay with not knowing right now.
Yeah. So there's pretty much everyone listening is like, I would, like, who wants to get pregnant? He's like, yeah, I'd take the baby and we can worry about
the rest later. Exactly. The rest will fall into place. I at least know the fundamentals at this point. So
yeah. No, but we'll connect. When you're ready, definitely, you know, we'll be in touch always.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Like one of my favorite things is, all right, let's get it back on track. And it will be much easier and you have this other being that's like providing new perspective for you. And
Yeah,
you, like,
exactly.
as a mother, you just become, I mean, this isn't all the time and about everything, but a lot, like, a we shift a lot to practicality.
Yep. I mean,
Because
it makes sense. Like,
you're like, okay, because
everything.
it's that
The world, like, your
HA.
perspective is completely different at that point.
Hopefully. Yeah,
Yeah,
hopefully we're
it
not
should
going in it to
be.
get the baby, didn't have done no healing whatsoever, and then we just bring our neurosis and anxiety into the newborn phase. Is that would be miserable.
100%. And I don't want, like, even like, if I've, let's just say I never healed myself and I had raised this baby, you know, or had like more babies and then eventually a daughter. And like, I would never want to ingrain what I've had ingrained in me into them, you know, the all of that like anxiety around it and the food rules and all these things, like fearing like body image, the body image issues. I would just never want to instill that. Like, I wouldn't want to be the reason behind that. So that's like another reason.
A whole other rabbit hole of like, yeah, they
So
are seeing it. Even if you have baby boys, they're
100%,
seeing it.
100%, like they mimic what you do. I just would never, like the language, everything about it, you know what I mean? Like, I remember like going into the mirror and being like, oh my God, I'm so fat, you know what I mean? Like, say things like that, and like, God forbid, like if my kid ever heard me say that, you know, and I would never want them to hear that and then like reflect it on themselves. So
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
definitely.
definitely creates a source of pride too. I have like
Yeah.
a big source of pride that I do not do that. Like, I do
Yeah.
not comment on my eating or my food. You know, I eat with my
Yeah.
daughter if I'm not, because, like, you know, she just didn't eat any breakfast or any lunch. And I'm like, I need you to be eating dinner ASAP. But,
Yeah.
you know, I'll find a way to explain that and just like, and if she sees me checking my outfit in the mirror, I like make a point to be very quick about it, you know,
Sure.
and get
Yeah.
it done. And it's a sense of pride to bring that
Yeah.
into parenting.
Yeah, I'm sure. So,
Have
well,
fun.
yeah.
Have fun. This has been great.
Yeah.
I feel inspired. I feel the others
Oh,
feel
good.
inspired, right? This was good.
Hope
Hell yeah.
hopefully. Yeah. So, yeah, this was awesome.
Yeah, thank you
We
so
got to
much
do
for
round
sharing.
two. Yes. Yeah, of
Yeah.
course.
Thank you. You must send me pictures when the baby has arrived.
I will.
You're halfway.
20 more weeks,
It's
give or take.
the slowest too.
Oh,
It is the slowest until
I
you, and then
know.
I haven't got two, but I can only imagine that, like, once you have the second one doesn't go slow enough and the first
Yeah.
one goes too slow.
Yeah, I'm in this like in between phase, 'cause like I'm in second trimester now and I'm feeling so great that like I wouldn't mind sitting here, but then the part of me is just like, I want to meet this baby. Like,
I know,
to
you
meet
just
his
want to
life. Would you
meet
hurry up?
them.
Like,
What are they going to look like?
what
Who are they going to
exactly?
look
Like, what
like?
is he gonna look like? How's he gonna be? Like, I can't
Yeah.
wait.
Which is so funny, because I was like that. And then I met her and I was like, who are you? Because I just had this expectation that she would look like me, or she would
Yeah.
have the, like, my colorings, because I was born like super dark.
Yeah.
And
I'm
I'm
already
like,
preparing. I feel like my son's gonna look like my husband, and I'm already like mentally prepared for that. It's fine. Yeah.
But
It's
I
okay.
know that it changes later, and it's just that, like,
Yes.
I don't have a smushed baby face for her to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be,
Yeah.
yeah, it's
It'll
so
be fine.
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited
So.
for you. I'm kind of jealous, I think. I think I'm like, I'm gonna be okay. And that second try, you're right, the second trimester. So, side note, pretty much, like, if you go to our website, not saying people should, but like, you go to our website, like, 80% of what you see and like how we set up the business, we had this like massive growth moment, in my personal opinion. And it was because in my second trimester, I felt amazing. And I had this deadline of this baby's coming in 20 weeks. So, like, I built this like super solid, robust business. That, like, a lot of it, you know, just from like a marketing and strategy standpoint, that has basically not changed.
Oh, wow.
And I just am like, that second trimester, dude, I did like 3 years of work. I did 3 years of work in this one,
It's
like,
amazing.
10 week period of time.
It is like you feel great. This is the golden hour for
You look
sure.
great. Your hair is great. Your skin is great. You're just
Exactly.
like, you walk in the room, you're this fertility goddess. And this isn't ever, there's people listening who are like, that didn't happen for me. But it happened for me. And I don't care if it
Yeah.
happened. It was the
Yeah.
best. I've never felt better since to this
Yeah.
day.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. It's like my energy is like way better than it's ever been. So,
Yeah. Oh, please milk it. Please just
yeah.
do all the
I
things.
will. I'm soaking it up. I have 7 more weeks of it and I'm going to soak up every minute. So,
Amazing. So
yeah.
fun. Well, so great to have you. Thank you, Ashley, for
Thanks.
sharing. Pleasure, pleasure. Can't wait to hear and see the milestones
Thank
go
you.
through. And thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having me again.
Hello, ladies. It's been a minute since I brought you something big and exciting for free. But I'm really excited about this. I was thinking, what do we really need to help some of these women seriously move some needles, right? Like really make some significant progress in their recovery. So I wanted to offer this to you guys, and it's basically, this is stuff that we only give our paying clients. Our paying clients, our one-on-one members. So it was a big decision for me to make this bundle for you guys, but here we are. I am presenting to you guys our HA Infertility Blueprint Kit. So here's what this is. It's our DIY Restore Your Fertility program. So you get full access to the HA Society, which is usually $25 a month. And then this DIY Restore program is $472. And I'm giving it to you guys for free. I want you to come in to our amazing HA Society. I want you to come to our community calls. I want you to utilize the Restore program. I want you to utilize the content. I want you to come and chat and make some moves in your recovery. The other thing I'm offering is a 45-minute discovery call with me about whether or not your HA progress is happening and if you're ready for one-on-one coaching. So I'm going to chat with you and make sure having that call with me is actually the right move for you. I do not want you to get on this call with me if it's not the right thing for you. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to go to Instagram. So that's the HA Society. Or you can go to my Instagram, which is Danny Sheriff, and you're going to DM Blueprint, the word Blueprint. And I'm going to chat with you. I'm going to send you the link to get that Blueprint bundle kit 100% free, even though it's totally valued at $497. I'm giving that to you guys for a month for free. And we're going to jump on a call and we're going to talk about your recovery. And we're going to figure out your next best steps to getting your period back, getting pregnant naturally, if that's your goal. And we're gonna make some moves. We're gonna make some moves on recovery. It's gonna be great. So go to the HA Society or go to Danny Sheriff. If you don't have Instagram, you can email me. You can find that on the website, and I will send those things to you. Okay, guys, this is exciting, but on with the show. Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about the Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients. because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure, if you're trying to avoid pregnancy, that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping, for many reasons, is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place, and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck. Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.